A hearty welcome to you all. On the occasion of the day of the burial of our sister and of your mother, grandmother, Rantje Oldhuis, I think I can speak no better word of welcome than to recite for you the first question and the answer of the Heidelberg Catechism that Mother grew up with, that Dad had grown up with, and that many of us have grown up with. What's your only comfort in life and in death? That I, both in life and death, with body and soul, am not my own, but I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must be subservient, it's an old word, must be subservient to my salvation. Wherefore, by His Holy Spirit, He assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him, my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's sing together, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like billows, like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Shall we rise for the singing of this song?
Thank you.
Let us pray. What a precious and what a comforting words we were just privileged to sing, O Lord, our gracious God who art in heaven, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father for his name's sake. We marvel as we speak the words. We often speak them, but to think it through, that we can fold our hands and speak to thee in heaven and may know that thou art listening, and not only listening from a distance, but very close by. For thou, Lord Jesus, hast said that though thou art in heaven as to thy human nature, with thy divine nature thou art never absent from us. And thou art the one in whose name we pray. And thy Father will always hear us. Oh, hear us, Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ. And bless us with, it is well with my soul. Our bodies deteriorate over the years, and some of us notice it more than others, but the day of departure will come, and then to even know that soul-wise, as to our soul, we are not buried into the grave, but taken in a moment into thy glorious presence, Lord Jesus, who art at thy Father's right hand. And there thou wilt introduce us to thy Father. Make it to be so. We shouldn't take it for granted, but we shouldn't doubt it either. Have us know that living relationship of faith and hope and love, and the greatest of these being love, and the truth of thy word in our lives, even in the hour of our passing away. As we have assembled, we think back to the sad moments a little while ago when the family and some of us with them were at the grave and her body was taken from the hearse to the grave and lowered a little bit. Still a flower, a set of flowers on top, but knowing that her body now must be down in the grave and is returning to dust, as we read it there from the Holy Scriptures. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. But we have also buried her in the hope and in the expectation of the great day of resurrection, the resurrection for all who thou shalt bring with thee from glory and raise their bodies to meet thee, Lord Jesus, in the air. And others also will be raised, but not to meet thee in the air, but will be cast out. But what a precious gospel, to belong to thee in life and death. Let that stand out also in this service, this memorial service and service of thy word. Speak, Lord, and let us be a hearing and a believing assembly. Comfort thou the family. And as they think back to so many moments with Mom, grant them thy gracious presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Pardon our sins. Hear us for Christ's sake. Receive our thanks for the gift of Mother Rangia, or Sister Rangia, or Grandma Rangia, or sister-in-law. The gift of Mom, and Mum always there, except when she was ill and not at home. But Thou hast given her to us for so many years. To Thee we render hearty thanks and thank Thee for such a grandma and for the ministry that children and grandchildren could bring to her. Thou art altogether to be given thanks for every blessing has been from Thee. And for Thy sake, Lord Jesus, thereunto Thou didst bear the curse and didst fulfill all righteousness, that our thanksgiving might be to Thee now and evermore. Help us in every aspect of the service, and that for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing the next song on our bulletin, selected by the family, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Praise. And then from here on, I won't make a further announcement as such. The family reflections will follow. And then scripture, meditation, some special music. And what we are aiming for is to fit it all into a 1 hour service. So if we run over, feel free to raise your hand fittingly. And then we'll say, oh yes, amen. Let's sing.
Hello, my name is Ben and this is John. We're the oldest two boys in the family. And I just want to say, I couldn't have asked for a better mom. She was just amazing. We can always say that, you know. She was always there for us. And when she became an Oma, I think all the kids can also say she was an amazing Oma. You know, her kindness, gentleness, patience. We just loved her so much. And I just want to say a few words now about growing up in Edmonton as a young boy. And in those days, it was different than nowadays. In the 1960s, we never had a car in our family, so we'd be taking the bus all the time. We'd always ride the buses, and you know, this is going to school, going shopping, going to our dentist appointments, and also going to church. We would take the bus to church. And besides busing, if we didn't feel like taking the bus, we would hitchhike. And not only our young kids, but my mom also hitchhiked. And there was one time, well, this is probably maybe only the one time, living in Edmonton, she had three brothers living out west, 150 kilometers west of on Highway 16, in a little community of Knighton Junction and Piers and Edson, in that area. And she always wanted to go see her brothers. Her three brothers were on farms right on the highway there. So, and she was determined to go there, and my dad would be working downtown in a shoe repair shop. So I think one time, well, normally we would take the Greyhound bus. So that was just a common thing. We'd hop on the bus, and we would get off on the highway. The bus driver would just let us off. We would walk to the farm. But one time, for some reason, maybe we didn't catch the bus or whatever, but so we were on the highway. We were hitchhiking. Outside of the city limits, we started hitchhiking on the highway. And I remember this as a kid, and my mom was there. The problem is, my mom was going like this. And I said, Mom, nobody's going to stop. You're thumbing everybody. And I said, just hold your thumb straight and smile. Anyway, shortly after that, we got a ride in the pickup truck. She was in the front with Anita. All us guys were in the back with chickens and eggs and whatever else this guy was hauling. So it was about an hour and a half, I guess, to the farm. Anyway, we were there for a couple of weeks. But that was our summer holidays, going to the farm. Anyway, you know, for Mom, that was the highlight of the summer, going to the farm, getting out of the city, and just being out on the farm. It was just amazing, and that was our amazing memories of her as a mother. And John, you want to say something?
Well, I have to remember one thing that my mom, or our mom, she was the oldest in this congregation. And biblically speaking, she was 80. Mm-hmm. And for those of us whose math is not, we're more of the, you know, just math that we learned in school, that would make it 90 years, which is a long time. I don't think any of us are even close to that yet. And it was really nice that even the Sunday school children with the teachers, they even made a little, wasn't a basket, but a little container, a Christmas container full of chocolates. Well, they put it in my mailbox, but I quickly had to take it to the hospital. And I said, Mom, this is for you from the Sunday school. So we opened it, and right away there was a nice big red chocolate in there. I'll take that one. Okay, there's a lot of smaller ones, but no, she wanted the biggest one. So that was, she really enjoyed that a lot. So that was a highlight for her. She appreciated a lot of visitors that came to see her In Vancouver. Yeah, in Vancouver also. And in Abbotsford. She received a lot of phone calls, a lot of cards. So the people here, no, they were great, you know, just even though someone is so old, they still cared for her and showed her their appreciation. We also have to thank Simon and Mary Grunewald, because they did pick up my mom quite often from the Tabor home and brought her to church and sometimes even brought her back home. So that went on for a number of years. So thanks a lot for doing that. And we also want to have to remember that even like 10 years ago, our father died, and Reverend Bilkus was even there to officiate with that ceremony. So that, and now again with my mother. And also, Renee also played the organ at my dad's funeral, and now with my mother. Thanks a lot, Renee. And we're probably forgetting something or some people somewhere, but if we did, sorry. But thanks a lot to everyone who showed so much love for a church member. That was great. Thanks a lot. Oh, I forgot one last thing. We can't forget our good sound man, because otherwise we wouldn't sound very good. So, thanks a lot for taking care of the sound for us, Adrian. Okay, thanks a lot.
Let's read Colossians chapter 2, apart. The verses 6 and 7. Here from the what we often call the Authorized Version: as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And if you read it from the bulletin cover, then you see it in a more contemporary version. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and build up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It's their wedding text, Reintjes and Gerardus' wedding text, quite a few years ago. I believe the due date, the date was November 30, 1949. I believe I'm right on that. I must confess, I have not been often asked to speak at a funeral service on the wedding text of a couple. I am very impressed by the request. I may not find it so easy to do so, but there's something about a wedding text in my life, and maybe your life too, that really stands out. When we were young, when Gerardus and Reintje were young, a wedding text was a big deal. Nowadays, usually the couple says, Pastor, we want you to speak on this text. But a wedding text in the early days was something was given to you, you had nothing to say about it. If you would say to the minister, maybe not in Wapenveld where they lived, or Hottam, but I think generally speaking, if a couple would say, Pastor, we don't want you to select the wedding text, that's our job, then the minister would say, well, ask another minister. Because that was really a minister's gift on behalf of God's word. Kind of knowing the couple, thinking what would fit, or would a minister know? But this is how it was. It was a very precious thing. You know, we live in a day now that I ask couples sometimes at their 25th or at their 50th wedding anniversary. I mean, in this country where the customs were different, did you get a wedding Bible? No. No, really? Did the minister use a verse from the Bible that he passed along with you for life? And I've heard many times the answer, no. No, this is no big deal. But there's something beautiful about a wedding text. And especially the thought, I think, of your mom and your dad, that when in 1949 they went to their pastor and they said, Pastor, will you conduct the service? Because at City Hall you got married, but will you conduct the service? And then their minister, I don't know his name, do you? You probably know. Newman. Was it Henry Newman? Father Henry. Wonderful. But he chose this text. And then think of it. If you read it from the bulletin, so then just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. So here was Cleridius and Renke, and they got married. And from City Hall, where they got married, they went to church and they had a worship service. And then this was the word of God, of which the minister says, this is to guide you in your marriage. And today at the funeral of Mom, here it is. I mean, we want to think about that for a little while. Is that okay? I know I don't have a lot of time. But even if you look at the words, you see something very beautiful. Even the aspect, I think, in our circles, and I'm not trying to put anybody else down, but in our circles, the emphasis was on getting married in the Lord. Is that familiar to you? Christian marriage. Husband and wife. You know, the holy triangle? Husband and wife, but God was part of the marriage? And how was He part of their marriage? Well, He brought them together. Right? We confess that? We confess it in the old form for marriage that was also used for your mom and dad, I'm confident, in 1949, where it says that God as yet brings to every man his wife. Now, you might not believe that. People say, well, it was my choice. But there it says, no, who works in us, who brings us together? God. He brings. It's a wonderful thought. And then to have given to you this word, so then as you receive Christ as Lord, the emphasis in our background was you would make profession of faith before you ever got married. That's not been the practice in everyone's life in the church. I know that. It's a beautiful thought. You confess the Lord as your Lord and Jesus as your only Savior. And then you get married. And marriage is sometimes hard enough. Don't misunderstand me. But he's the one who guides your marriage. And how does He do that? Through His Word. How does He do it in the case of Gerard and Reintje? And I say it partly, how did he do it in their life? I know when I got to know Mom and Dad, they talked about their wedding text. I think the first time I was there at their home, I said, what shall we read from the Scriptures? So, well, it's up to you, Pastor. I said, no, it's up to you. Something that's dear to you. And so, the wedding text. And what does that wedding text say? Well, it says, so then as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, or as I have it here in the Bible, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in Him. But notice that this is English. They had it in Dutch. In the Greek it actually says, as you have therefore received the Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Twice the definite article. As you have received the Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Now think that. Think of that for a moment. The Christ. The Christ is the Greek word, Christos. In the Old Testament you have the word Messiah, same word. Both mean anointed, remember? As you have received the anointed one. That's the thought. What does that mean? The anointed one. Christ was the anointed one. When tomorrow is Christmas, we think of the birth of Christ. Who came? Who was born? The anointed one. The Messiah. He had come from heaven as the anointed one. His Father had given him an assignment. That's the idea. To be the Messiah. To be the prophet, the priest, the king. And he did that, did he not? For 33 years? Well, he's still the Messiah. He's still the anointed one. But he had an assignment to fulfill, and he did that. I read that in a sermon by a Scottish minister from the 1800s the other day. He said, what did Christ do all those 33 years? And then he wrote something like, he kept the law of God. 33 years. We haven't done that. He has. And he bore in his body our sins, because he was the anointed one taking the place of his people. And he fulfilled that assignment. And what was that? And then you get the next name. As you have received the Christ Jesus, which means Savior. And that also was something God had given him, that name. Remember? The angel had said it to Mary, and his name shall be called. And in the dream to Joseph, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That was also what God the Father had sent him to do. To save. What does it say? For he shall save his people from their sins. And so he bore in his body the wrath of God. He bore in his body and soul whatever punishment you and I deserve because of our sin in Adam and our daily sin. And he did that. And he fulfilled all righteousness. So he did those two things in order to save us from our sins and to present us to God without blemish, without sin. My wife Jane and I, we were just reading, I think it was yesterday, Jude, second last Bible book. A brother of Jesus, Jude. And towards the end of that little letter, Jude says, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God. And then the praise. That's what Christ has come to do. Doesn't that make for a beautiful wedding text? As you have received the Christ Jesus. What's next? The Lord. Curious. He is Lord. A Christian is not only... That is a true Christian. A true Christian is not only a man who says Jesus is Lord, but who really submits to him as Lord. You know, faith is not only something up here. Am I right? You're with me? I mean, it needs to be up here. But it needs to also come into our hearts. And how does that take place? Well, it's all, I think, in this wedding text. As you have therefore received the Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, we'll get to that in a moment, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught. What a beautiful line there is. Your mom and dad were taught. They'd been taught. even before they got married. And then in their marriage, that's why in marriage we often read the Bible, or we read the scriptures on our own, but we read it together as husband and wife only. How often do you think mom and dad have done that? Always the Word. Taught by the Word. And that's how a person is brought to receiving Christ. You grow with the Bible. You don't understand anything of the Bible. And you're a little child. You just sit there. That must have been your experience, John and Ben and Anita and Bill. We sit through it, right? No. God is just putting it into our, doesn't he? Into our ears. Well, we don't understand it. No. But by the time you understand it, what a marvelous gospel about the Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Because there you have it in substance, in a little summary. And not only that, but with it, that you are rooted and build up in Him. Because it shouldn't only be up here, but in marriage. What makes for a good marriage is being rooted in Christ. I don't know what Paul was thinking when he was writing this epistle, but when I thought of this text yesterday, I couldn't help but think of Psalm 1. You probably know it off by heart or from memory. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And, there it is, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Isn't that the picture? A tree planted. The roots go down. The tree grows up. But you need to be rooted, else a storm comes and blows the tree over. You know what the ice storm has done in Michigan to trees. You need to be so deeply rooted. You need to be rooted in Christ. In the Lord. In the Christ. In Jesus. I think that's the picture. Let me repeat it. Rooted and build up. So there's the picture. Build up in Him, in Christ. And established in the faith. I forgot something. I said that I did. So walk ye in Him. Now, I don't know how to picture that. Because you are to be rooted in Christ. And once you're rooted in Christ, you're stationary. You stay there. Yet in the Christian life, you have the two. You can't really walk in Christ unless you're rooted in Christ. Is it the picture of abide in me and I in you? And so you shall bring forth much fruit. I think that's the picture here. As ye therefore have as you have received the Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. Have you ever thought of yourself walking in Christ? Doesn't sound right, does it? The Greek has something that is not translated here. It says, you don't need to know Greek here, but it's peripateo. That means actually to walk around Christ. On this side, as it were. And on that side, and a little bit there, a little bit. It's being with Christ. It's being, what's the word I could use? As you walk, you are focused on Him. He leads you. It's that union with Christ. That's what makes for a Christian life, Christian marriage. As you think back about your mom and dad, do you recognize this? Being rooted in the Messiah, Jesus, the Lord. And you walk in Him. I don't know. I think the grandchildren probably know that better than anyone else in this building. Whenever you came to Grandma, I don't know if it's all of you, but some of you will remember that Grandma would say, "Would you read the Bible to me?" It's an old custom, but she couldn't read anymore. "Would you read the Bible to me?" What was that to her? She desired to walk in Him. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light upon the road that leads me to the Lamb, but that leads me also with the Lamb, to walk with Him. You know, to walk with God is fellowship with God. Was it Enoch walked with God? And Paul writes in Romans 8, I think it is, about walking in Him or with Him. And in Galatians, I think you have a line, is it chapter 5? If you live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. There you have the bone, the structure, the skeleton of these words. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, that's how you walk. As you have been taught, that's how it works. That's how it works. Just one brief thought about that. I can only think at this moment of myself as an example. When I make, and maybe Reverend Slofser does the same, but when I make a sermon and I use my, for this, I didn't have it with me now, but I use a Greek Bible and I use some theological dictionaries, word dictionaries. What does that mean, rooted, and what does it mean, walk in Him? And I use some commentaries, some contemporary ones, some older ones, and I make my notes, and then there comes a moment which is actually from the start to the finish. It happens again and again that I fold my hands and I say, "Lord, I got it all here. But give me an understanding heart, please, so that I may not only see something for myself, but see it for the congregation, see it for whomsoever I will meet and talk with or listen to." Those books are wonderful, but I need You, O Lord. And when I preach, don't let Lawrence speak, as it were, but do Thou speak. No, that's me. Do you have that? Do you think Mom and Dad ever had that? That they sat there and Mom says, "Okay, Gerhard, what does that mean?" And he was not the theologian that he said, "Oh, easy stuff, I'll teach you." Sometimes he had to say, "Don't know, but we can pray the Lord to give us understanding." So they did. That's why we pray as we read the Scriptures. Before we read, after we read. It's part of marriage, part of life. Part of life. Isn't it? That's why we go to church. That's why we read as husband and wife. And with the children. So that we as a family. And by the way, I looked at these names today while my wife was at the store, and I looked at all those names on the back. John and Julia Oldhouse, Amy, Jordan, Brian, Heidi. And I tried to count them quickly. And when I got to Michaela, I was at 50. It may be 51 or 48. But there were two who started in 49. And they are gone to be with our Lord so we may believe. And now there are 50. And Mom and Dad are not saying to you now, "Listen to Pastor Lawrence," because they are not here. But the Lord is saying, take their wedding text into your marriage, into your family. When you get married next year, who's getting married next year? There you go. Being rooted in Christ. That's what makes for marriage. Rooted. And then build up by Him in marriage. And then receiving Christ for that, and then walking with Him, and then being established. See what it says here. Being strengthened. Established is maybe a little stronger, but it includes strengthening of the faith. You get settled in the faith as you have been and as you are being taught. And then you get something else yet. Let's not forget that. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now we sang some beautiful hymns here. I don't know if Mom and Dad sang together as husband and wife. I know of many couples who do. They have devotions. They sing together. Some with the guitar. Some around the piano. Kids sing along. What do? Here it says, abounding therein with thanksgiving, overflowing with thankfulness. You have to express that. Not only a feeling of thankfulness to the Lord, but thank you, Lord. I thank thee, O my Father, for giving us thy Son. And give to us thy Spirit. We thank thee for thy Spirit. It's to be that personal. And let it be the memory of your grandma. And your grandpa. When my mother passed away, something happened that also happened when my father passed away. And my father passed away several years earlier. When my father passed away, after that, I began to think more and more about my dad. What I had learned from him, especially from the Word, but also things related to the Word. How he was a husband and a father. And when my mom passed away, something similar happened. I think my mother's been gone for several years. I think of my mom every day. I've met an elderly lady who passed away when she was 103. So I visited her many times prior to her passing. And whenever I visited her, we had a member in our church here too some years ago. Same thing. Then she talked about her mom as if she had talked to her mom on the phone this morning. She said, my mother said to me. And then I realized it wasn't just her mom saying it, but something from God having taught mom. So that you give in the thanksgiving. This kind of wraps up my part, and I know I'm running over time. But I'd like to say to all of you, that personal being rooted in Christ, build up in Christ, receiving Christ. And I don't mean to say now you need to be very active in doing this. I tell you, if you are very active in doing this, then at the end of your activity, you give thanks to the Lord and say, Lord, it's not because I put you all into my life, but thou hast done this in my life. And it makes for a life of thanksgiving. And then when the day of your departure comes, it's on the way. Maybe a while yet. Then the day of your departure, when you leave this earth, and you come to stand before our Lord, and He brings you to His Father. And if you are given to open your mouth there, what will it be? I thank Thee, O my Father, for giving Thee the Son, and working in me through Thy Spirit. And I'm here to thank Thee forever. And ever. That's what it takes. Without that, darkness. But here's the light of Christmas and of Good Friday and of resurrection. Amen. Special music and reflections by grandchildren.
Carla and I are both grandchildren of, we're the grandchildren. Anyways, we just wanted to share some favorite memories that we had of our Oma. And when I was little, I always remember going to Oma and Opa's house when they lived in a townhouse, and we'd always go for a sleepover, and the best place to get spoiled is to go to Oma and Opa's house, and she'd always have 7-Up and chips and dip for us, because we'd never get that at home. So that was always fun. And one thing that I always remember about Oma is she always loved her birthday, and I traveled a lot and was always away a lot a few years back. And if I was home for her birthday, then she was okay with it. But if I wasn't able to come home, then she would be a little bit disappointed. Anyways, we are very blessed that Oma was able to make it to her 90th birthday back in June, because I know that that was one thing she really wanted to make it to her 90th birthday. So it was a good celebration.
When I think of Oma, I think of her hands. And I love this picture on here because it has her hands on it. Her hands did so many things. I remember going to her house and watching her make fried eggs, throwing in a slab of butter into the frying pan, or spreading thick butter on the bread for Sunday lunch. She loved her butter and icing, and she always, I always see her licking it off her fingers. That's Oma. But those same hands, that peeled countless numbers of potatoes to feed her family, and she spent hours and hours knitting afghans and socks and toques for all of us. And that was such a special thing that she did for all of us. And then those same hands, which she would fold in prayer for her children and grandchildren, and that was very special. In the last year, when she was in the hospital, I would go to visit her, and sometimes we would talk, and sometimes I would read to her, and sometimes there wouldn't be anything to say. There were no words, and so I would just sit and hold her hands. And they were always so soft and warm. And those hands that had been so busy all her life and had shown so much love for her family. And now they're resting in God's hands, and I think we just to remember that.
Alright, so we're going to sing two special songs that we felt were very fitting. We don't have the words, but if you'd like to just sit and sing along if you know.
Thank you.
Here in the power of Christ.
Thank you. I know Grandma loved her grandchildren, but she also loved your parents. But grandchildren meant so much. Let's give thanks to God. And then we'll sing the doxology after that. Here is a chot. That's because it's Christmas tomorrow, and they expect everyone to know Dutch. But if you can sing along, do sing along. And you're invited to join the family for refreshments. Let's pray. O blessed Lord, the day of burial and a memorial service, and to give thanks to Thee, what a privilege. What a privilege that there are so many of us here, children and grandchildren. We pray, give them a thankful heart. Give them also a heart to ponder some of the things that Grandma said and talked about in the light of Thee and of Thy holy word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And make us like our grandparents in the ways of being rooted and built up in Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, in receiving Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, and walking with Thee day by day and in the night to even sing of Thee or recite a song, but to so live that it is not we that live, but Thou, Lord Jesus Christ, in us and we in Thee. And one day departing, and knowing that to depart and to be with Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, is far better. But also to know that to depart and not to be with Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, not to know any need of Thee, not to see any relevance in Thee, is not better than here, but is eternal woe. Help us, O Lord, to set our house in order and our heart in order. Give us Thy grace thereunto. Bless the family especially in the joyful memories, but also in moments that the tears do come and they do sense the loss of Mom. Be very near and dear to them all, yea, all of us, and bless the fellowship together now. May the words of our mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, and bless the drink and all the food or piece of cake with it in Jesus' precious name. And pardon our sins, O God, in words and thoughts and deeds against Thee, also against our loved ones. Thine be the glory forever for Jesus' sake. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen. Eer is aan God. simply to first leave and go to the fellowship hall. John, if you will lead the way. Thank you.